long hard days. They don't say God's changed my ways, changed my ways, those evil. So I set out, crossed that way, to strike them down, to make them pay, and change their ways, their evil ways. But I can't. Evil way.
Welcome back. Top of the third hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. This is Monday, April 13th, 2020. And, we should all be doing this, I think. So, Ohio actually, it seems, has some data. Numbers are greater. If you go to the, coronavirus.ohio.gov and then click on the link under the numbers, there's a panel or a, whatever. I don't think it's a table. It's a panel. The HTML is divs, so it's not a table. Anyway, 12 boxes. How about that? 4x3. Below that and to the right, at least in a desktop, probably collapses in mobile, is COVID-19 Ohio dashboard. And that has some helpful numbers. You can look at numbers by county. And I'm looking at hospitalizations. And you can see Cuyahoga seems to be the highest. Cuyahoga County, Ohio, 323 hospitalizations. I presume that's active. Lucas County, next, 208. Franklin, 187. Hamilton, 112. You could say, that sounds like a lot. Maybe it is. I don't know. Depends on the size of the county, the number of hospitals and so forth, the population, obviously. But I would like to see that again against a backdrop of seasonal flu. And this is my point. When you start looking at this data, it's easy for this to get blown out of proportion because there is no frame of reference. There's no context. And all you see is these magical graphs, CDC, UCSF, big, scary bell curve that, is half of it is above the healthcare system capacity. Okay, well, okay, that's your prediction. I understand. But where is the evidence that we have done that, first of all? Because we haven't. Or the evidence that we seem to be approaching that, because there is none. And as you go down through Ohio, you quickly drop below 100 cases. So there are, there's Cuyahoga, Franklin, Hamilton, Lucas, Mahoning. They show hospitalizations over 100. And that number, over 100. And so I presume that's active. And then from there it drops below 100. There's Summit County, Trumbull, Montgomery. And those are some of the higher numbers below 100. 98, 62, 79. Actually, Summit's 98. Trumbull is 79. Montgomery of 62. Are these active hospitalizations? Because, looking at the graphs, they seem to kind of astonishing how they just, like they're doing funny stuff with the math. Anyway, then you quickly drop off. You know, 50 into the teens, into the single digits for most of the state. So again, why are we doing this? Why aren't people asking? For the whole county, you're going to lock us down? We got one case. For the whole state? Looking at the map, you have little pockets. Up in the north, you know, Franklin County there in the center. Up in the northeast a little bit, maybe. Other than that, most of the state showing zero, maybe one, maybe two, maybe five cases per county. Most of the state. You probably have, looking at it, maybe, I don't know, a dozen counties that you might have reason for concern. What about the rest of the state? Why are we punishing everyone else? It doesn't make sense. And so I think people, and you know, now that I'm looking at it, actually when I hover, because it doesn't say, it says hospitalizations. And when I hover over the individual counties on the map, it says total hospitalizations. There you go. Total. Where's the active number? I'd like to know what the active number of hospitalizations in Ohio is per county. Why are people not demanding this information? You're telling us we don't want to overwhelm the healthcare system. We are responsible people. We pay the taxes for this county. We're not just goofball wackos who want to endanger the lives of anyone, but by the same token, it's an endangerment to keep people locked inside their homes. When they can't earn a living, when they can't pay their bills, when they can't get out and be in the sunlight without fear of, you know, being stopped and questioned. How long have you been outside? You've been outside long enough, haven't you? This is absurd. So let's talk real numbers and let's get some answers right now, because this is an emergency. You have us under emergency management, so it's an emergency. Therefore, let's get some data. What is the healthcare system capacity? Because I'm looking at the flu data and it's significantly greater than these numbers you're showing us. By the way, quit fudging on the hospitalizations. Don't show me total, show me active. What are the active hospitalizations? Because that will give us an indication of whether or not we're approaching healthcare capacity, system capacity, or if we've exceeded it. And we haven't. We all know that. Anybody who goes to the grocery store and drives by the local hospital on the way knows, you know, where I am, I've seen one ambulance in, I don't know, forever with lights on, moving. Who knows what that was all about? I don't know. I'm just saying, I'm not seeing ambulances. I'm not hearing people calling in saying, Chris, you're missing the boat here in this area or that area. We see it all day, every day. We're completely, you know, it's sirens from end to end, nonstop all day. No one's calling in and saying that. Will we have Dave call in and tell us, you know, that he has sent video to the board op or whomever at RBN so that it's posted? I went for a walk. This is what I saw. Here's my video. Dave, where are your photos? Help us out. Did you find this data that I'm talking about for your area in New York? What are you finding? Let's figure out how to address this. I don't hear anyone talking about that. A lot of people talking about the problem. Nothing wrong with that. I have also. But what are we going to do about it? Because I think we all know there's something fishy going on here. Whether someone means harm or not, the numbers don't add up. Why are we not being shown active hospitalizations? You can see that data from your couch. What is it? Your Burger King says you're supposed to be a couch patriot. What kind of garbage is that? We're all just, ha ha, we're all just children. We're little children. It's funny. It's not funny. There's nothing funny about what's going on. Did our spine melt away in America? What happened? I don't understand why people aren't up in arms. Why isn't this circulating on Facebook? Why aren't people saying, I am having a heck of a time finding active hospitalizations for our county? Why is that? And then start tweeting to the accounts of these elected officials, where is the active hospitalization number? Please publish that. Why don't you tweet that every day, Governor? Tweet that. Local county health officials, post that every day, please. Just that one number. That will help us get some indication of whether or not we're approaching healthcare system capacity. And also, I'd like to know what that looks like in the with the backdrop of seasonal flu. Because if seasonal, if this whole situation dwarfs seasonal flu, obviously that's a problem. But if this situation is a gnat in the, you know, with seasonal flu as a backdrop or a perspective, then we have a problem. We've shut everything down. What I see is that we've gone through seasonal flu year after year. Tens of millions of cases. We've had tens of thousands of deaths, flu deaths, not related, not a liberal approach to mortality, but a literal approach to mortality with seasonal flu. Tens of thousands of deaths. A couple of years ago, 80,000, I think it was 3 years ago, close to 80,000 apparently, even by the CDC's numbers. So, like Professor Knut Bukowski says, if you take these numbers plus seasonal flu, then it's just a seasonal flu so far. Nothing out of the ordinary, really. But when we do this containment thing, what we're doing is we're extending it, making sure that it goes on until, I don't know, 12 to 18 months, when conveniently somebody has a solution, wink, wink. They've already invested over $1 billion. Invested over $1 billion in pumping out vaccines. Do you really believe that Bill Gates might say, you know what? Guess what? It looks like everybody's fine. You know, there's nothing to be concerned about. There's absolutely no way Bill Gates and his cronies will say, you know what, it looks like, no, we invested $1 billion, we're going to get our return on investment, by golly, by hook or by crook, it's coming. It's time for you, America, to get out in front of this issue and ask, where are the active hospitalizations? Local health officials, put that on. I want that number front and center. The rest, I'm not so concerned about. Because we hear it's all about healthcare system capacity. And what we see, if we're looking at the data, is that we've gone through seasonal flu with numbers greater than these and all of the other hospital functions occurring. Seasonal flu numbers are greater. Seasonal flu capacity, including other hospital functions. Do you follow me? We didn't overtax the healthcare system with seasonal flu this flu season. Nor did we last year, the year before. You have not been hearing, oh my goodness, we're approaching healthcare system capacity. Because we aren't. Just like we aren't now. Whereas now the numbers are significantly less than seasonal flu, and we've shut down all elective procedures and things like that. Basically, the hospitals, as we've been told, if we're led to believe any of this stuff, have set everything aside in an effort to combat this invisible enemy that's virtually non-existent. I want to know what the active hospitalizations in Cuyahoga County, Ohio are right now. Total hospitalizations, 323. That's dishonest. What are the active? Where is that little drop-down box? I don't want to view total. I want to view active hospitalizations currently, as of today. Where is that number? Why can't you find that number? Do you follow what I'm saying? Seasonal flu wasn't a problem, and we had all of these other things going on. The numbers are greater for seasonal flu, and hospitals were doing all of this other work, treating all of these other folks. Now we've shut all of the other stuff down to fight this invisible enemy. Those numbers are less than seasonal flu all across the board. Well, no, Chris, people are not really, people are in hospitals. Show me the numbers. Show me the active hospitalizations, and I will believe it. That's fine. I don't want to endanger lives, but you know what? By the same token, we shouldn't want to be taken advantage of either, right? We're getting taken here. We're getting had. So why is it so difficult? Why is it such a shell game to find active hospitalizations? Isn't that a valid question? I am shocked and astonished that more folks aren't shouting this from the rooftops. I'll say it again. I'm being redundant, I realize, but I don't understand why. You know, the reason I'll say it again is because it's radio. It's not visual. And it is kind of a visual thing. The seasonal flu figures across the board are greater than this stuff. Whether it's cases, medical visits, hospitalizations, or deaths, the numbers are greater for seasonal flu this year. And this wasn't a particularly bad seasonal flu year. According to the CDC's data, those numbers are greater. These COVID-19 numbers were being given, they pale in comparison. They pale. You're telling me a 500,000 cases is anywhere near 55 million? A half of 1 million is somehow somewhere near 55 million cases, potentially? Do you have a 500,000 versus 50 million? CDC estimates it's somewhere between, you know, around 40 and 55 million cases this year. Call it 45 versus a 500,000 cases of this stuff. I'm not trying to downplay anything. I'm trying to get to the bottom of it and get answers. Because if we're shutting the country down and states and counties that shouldn't be, that's also endangering people. That's also putting people in harm's way. There have been countless reports in the media about the suicide hotlines, domestic abuse hotlines, and all kinds of things exploding. This is putting people in harm's way. There's also the other health risks. There's also the issue that, again, world-renowned epidemiologists say this actually is more harmful. So this is putting people at risk. Elected officials need to hear from their constituents who say, we don't want to hurt anybody, obviously. So we don't want to put people at risk by doing something that's dangerous. But by the same token, if this policy is dangerous, if this is the more dangerous thing, like Donald Trump said, the solution can't be more harmful. The cure can't be more harmful than the thing. And right now it is. That's obvious. It's self-evident, for Pete's sake, when you just glance at the data. Where is the outcry? Where is the public outcry? Be right back.
Did you know that You can be tracked and traced when you're online. With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With patriotinternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, patriotinternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from patriotinternet.com. Visit patriotinternet.com today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. September 2018. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I've been using Extendivite for many years now. May 2018. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. March 2018. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. February 2018. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Back. Goodness sakes. Ugh. I don't know about you, but I don't hear a large public outcry. And that is deeply concerning to me. Seems like we should be demanding answers. Are elected officials? Or is this just, you know, the Emperor's big day? I still want to get to that. Let's see. What do we have? We have that imagining, you know. So I wonder if we could play Deborah Birx real quick in her own words, you know. Oops. Deborah Birx in her own words. from the April 7 coronavirus task force press briefing from the official White House, blah, blah, blah. As well do that real quick. Her, you know, her little explanation in response to the question. What do you say about the numbers? The numbers are completely worthless at this point. The number of cases, you know, people say, well, they're exploding. No, they're not. Those numbers are unreliable at best. It is that's just theatrical stuff. That's good window dressing to foment panic. The case numbers are worthless. The deaths are worthless. They're being overreported. Burke says so. Here it is. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Fauci or Dr. Burks, can you talk about your concerns about deaths being misreported by coronavirus because of either testing or standards for how they're characterized?
So I think in this country, we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality. And I think the reporting here has been pretty straightforward over the last 5 to 6 weeks. Prior to that, when there wasn't testing in January and February, that's a very different situation and unknown. There are other countries that if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus caused you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem, some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. Right now, we're still recording it, and the great thing about having forms that come in and a form that has the ability to mark it as COVID-19 infection, the intent is right now that those, if someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that as a COVID-19 death.
Can you be sure? You hear from coroners that that's not necessarily the case. Are you sure? How can you be confident about that? And is there any concern that it skews the data that you're trying to collect in terms of projections and things like that?
Well, I think that would apply more to rural areas that may not have the same level of testing. But I am pretty confident in New York City and in New Jersey and places that have these large outbreaks and COVID-only hospitals. I can tell you they are testing. New York and New Jersey together have, by proportion, are testing extraordinarily well as Washington State and Louisiana. So I don't see that there's been a barrier in testing to diagnosis.
No, I think there's so much focus now on coronavirus.
Here comes Fauci to save the day, shore it up, shore up the narrative. She just sounds like she's lying. I don't trust a word she says. I don't trust a word he says. I don't trust any of them. Mainly because, again, there's this effort. It seems to me there's an ongoing effort to not just obfuscate the data. What's important here is active hospitalizations. The overwhelming of the healthcare system occurs, you know, we start to press on the envelope of healthcare system capacity with that number, correct? Active hospitalizations is the only number we should be hearing about, but we're not. Why is that? For obvious reasons. The same reasons you're not supposed to film medical facilities and hospitals. But we have this number, and you don't have to leave your house to examine it. Why aren't we having that conversation? Stick around. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
D.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
The Republic Broadcasting Network late night premiere show The Red Pill Hardcore is hosted by activists that want to hear from you, the listeners, so that you can get involved in the activism. Please call in at 800-313-9443 at 10 p.m. to enter the discussion. To book yourself as a guest, call our studio at 202-657-5715 or contact RBN staff. Remember, keep it real and take the red pill.
Is the Second Amendment your line in the sand? Is the United States Constitution important to you? Are you worried about gun confiscation? You need to join us for free at gunconfiscation.com. At gunconfiscation.com, you will meet like-minded patriots, get the latest Second Amendment news, and find anything you need to prepare for gun confiscation. Visit gunconfiscation.com today. That's gunconfiscation.com. Which side are you on?
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line, engines pumping and thumping in time. The green light flashes, the flags go up. Churning and burning, they yearn for the cup. They deftly maneuver and muscle for rank. Fuel burning fast on an empty tank. Reckless and wild, they pour through the turns. Their prowess is potent and secretly stern. As they speed through the finish, the flags go down. The fans get up and they get out of town. The arena is empty except for one man, still driving and striving as fast as he can. The sun has gone down and the moon has come up. And long ago somebody left with the cup. But he's driving and striving and hugging the turns and thinking of someone for whom he still burns.
He's going the distance. He's going for speed. She's all alone, all alone in a time of need. Because he's racing and pacing and plotting the course. He's fighting and fighting and riding on his horse. He's going the distance.
Welcome back. I was just looking for King County, Washington numbers in the break. Should look for that before. But, you know, in each state, how long would it take all of us? You know, maybe a dozen or a couple dozen people to identify some pages in each state, in the problem counties, the hotspot counties in particular. Let's crowdsource that. Where is the active hospitalizations number? And let's publish that far and wide, and let's have some discussion. Let's have some civil discourse. Let's have some answers from elected officials. Enough of this being patronized and placated by technocrats, patting people on the head. Don't worry, little children. We'll keep you safe. No. No, that's not how that works. I am not interested in being ruled by experts, especially quacks. You know, I feel like at this point I still have a more of a vested interest in my own well-being than quacks. So let's find that data. Let's put that together and let's start holding elected officials accountable. And you know what? I'm not trying to get out in front of something. I realize that there is this hypnotic press to sort of focus on the dramatized number of cases and number of deaths. Just played Deborah Birx in her own words, you know. Someone comes in, they have a heart attack, and we say they died of COVID-19. Really? Yeah, in some cases they don't even get tested. It's assumed. They are presumed positive, according to the CDC. In many cases. Not in all. The data is unreliable, and like Knut Witkowski said, it's impossible at this point to deconvolute that data in a variety of ways. You don't see when the cases, you know, are those, is the number goes up, the number that's being reported, is that when the person was tested or when the person started experiencing symptoms, are they symptomatic? How long until that person comes out of the number of active cases? Does that just go on forever? Because that's the impression that you get right now, is it not? Impression that I seem to be getting. We have total number of cases, it's skyrocketing, that's total number reported, but I thought you were only supposed to self-quarantine for 14 days if you were symptomatic, even though everyone's supposed to be in lockdown. That's the perception, and that's being normalized, and that's the problem. One of the big problems, normalizing what shouldn't be. So I think we should be asking questions. I want to give you a little slice of this, you know, this crisis stuff. So Event 201, Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, folks. Johns Hopkins is kind of ground zero for perception management and those kinds of things. That's what the Event 201 deal was all about. Okay, we simulated, we have all of our pieces. What would you need, Adrian Thomas, for Johnson & Johnson to make a vaccine? Well, we would need these four things. We'd need funding in a central body. Okay, we got that. That's the CEPI and these other related organizations and the Gates Foundation, the Wellcome Trust, and some small governments and things are doing that, so we don't have to worry about governments who say, well, we're not concerned. $1 billion has been committed to this already. Do people realize that? To the effort to vaccinate the world. And there's a lot of dangerous prospects in that. Setting safety concerns aside, as Bill Gates said. Hopefully we'll get to that in a second. But first I want to give you this little snippet from the Johns Hopkins Stavros Niarchos Foundation, the SNF Agora Institute at Johns Hopkins discussion. Imagining a new moral economy. Think about those words for a second together and let that sink in. Think about that. Imagining a new moral economy. What in the you-know-what does that even mean? Imagining a new moral economy. First of all, what does that mean? Second of all, who's doing the imagining and what does that portend? So first of all, listen to the wonderful opportunities of crisis language from the host, Hari Han. Go ahead, please.
So today, the four of us are going to spend about 30 minutes talking about the possibilities for imagining a new moral economy. Crisis and opportunity are two sides of the same coin, and with every crisis comes the opportunity to reimagine a different world, even as we grapple with and support each other through the crisis that we're all facing right now in our communities. Our panelists will offer both a historical and a future-oriented look at this question, and then we'll open it up for your questions. So thank you all to those of you who've already submitted so many great questions.
Unbelievable. Opportunities of crisis. Every crisis presents its own set of opportunities. Told you, I keep hearing these people say that. Everywhere you look. So, all of these people are not my favorite people. Amory Slaughter, Margaret Levy, Angus Bergen, Hari Han, Johns Hopkins, all of the, you know, Plato's philosopher kings. No thank you. No disrespect, guys, but no thank you. You can decide to imagine your own new moral economy for yourselves, but I'll decide for me, okay? No offense. So, next I want to give you, so you hear opportunities of crisis. Hari Han, the host of the Imagining a New Moral Economy, said, every crisis has its own set of opportunities. Yay! This is a big crisis. Aren't you guys so excited? What is wrong with people? This is what arsonists do. That's how arsonists think. Gosh, imagine what we could do with all that money if we burn the shop down. Here's Angus Bergen weighing in. Hari Han, you know, asked, you know, what do you think? And, you know, opportunities of crisis, conditions, you know, like economic crises. And here we are, crisis. And now we get to think about some new stuff. But Angus Bergen reminds us, it's not at that moment. But anyway, go ahead, please.
And those are choices we can make to look around and say, hey, actually, these people who take care of other people in our society, who invest in other people, are people we should really value.
Mm-hmm. And globally, as you all both point out, we've seen different choices made in different places. So Angus, maybe this is a great way to bring you into the conversation because, you know, you've written in some ways like a really important book about sort of thinking about these questions of political economy in a historical sense. And so can you, historically speaking, give us a sense of what are the conditions under which economic crises or other kind of societal crises like the ones that we're in right now lead to a reimagining of a different kind of socioeconomic structure?
Yeah, well, I mean, one point I'd like to emphasize is that it's a bit of a misnomer to think that crises lead to a reimagining. A lot of the work to do the reimagining needs to happen before a crisis takes place, right? And so if you look at any of these moments, whether the 1930s, the 1970s, where we can think of sort of epochal shifts in the way that people address issues of political economy, a lot of the underlying work for that transformation happened within theoretical communities, often decades before a crisis came to pass where they came to light and were enacted into policy. And so, you know, I take that as one of
there
the
you go. Mission. There you go. Did you catch that? This is Johns Hopkins. Granted, it's the SNF Agora Institute. It's all the same, you know, it's ground zero of exactly what Angus Bergen just said. The transformation is about to occur. I noticed the other day on the CDC website, what is it, coronavirus.gov or whatever, CDC, coronavirus, CDC.gov, or whatever, that where they have the latest, you know, that whatever it is, it redirects to the other one, the longer one. So it's the page titled Cases, Data, and Surveillance, CDC, Coronavirus Disease 2019, COVID-19. I think that's the main page that coronavirus.cdc.gov redirects to or whatever. Anyway, so down at the bottom, toward the bottom of the page, latest in data and surveillance. I noticed this piece here, rapid sentinel surveillance for COVID-19. What? Rapid sentinel surveillance reminds me of that sound bite, probably should play that. Fauci. Testimony before Congress. Infectious disease head warns outbreak will get worse. This is, I think we should, you know, it's a couple minutes. Not a big deal. I told you when Anthony Fauci testified last month that he mentioned sentinel cities. And this is happening. So, you know, here is CDC rapid sentinel surveillance for COVID-19 Santa Clara County, California, March 2020. And that's interesting. And then from there, when you start searching rapid sentinel surveillance, RSS, that's fun. Interesting stuff. Who's involved in that? Who's writing about that? Who's talking about that? And lo and behold, you stumble across things like this report from Duke University, Margolis Center for Health Policy, dated April 7, 2020, a national COVID-19 surveillance system achieving containment. So you just heard what Angus Bergen said. A lot of that planning goes in, you know. So guess who is one of the co-authors on this? Caitlin Rivers from Event 201. Yay! Dr. Caitlin Rivers. A national COVID-19 surveillance system achieving containment. That's a fun one. You should read that. Good times. Here's Dr. Fauci. Go ahead, please.
Because I don't have that in front of me.
Okay.
Right.
Is the worst yet to come, Dr. Fauci?
Yes, it is.
Can you elaborate?
Well, whenever you have an outbreak that you can start seeing community spread, which means by definition that you don't know what the index case is, and the way you can approach it is by contact tracing. When you have enough of that, then it becomes a situation where you're not going to be able to effectively and efficiently contain it. Whenever you look at the history of outbreaks, what you see now in an uncontained way, and although we are containing it in some respects, we keep getting people coming in from the country that are travel related. We've seen that in many of the states that are now involved. And then when you get community spread, it makes the challenge much greater. So I can say we will see more cases and things will get worse than they are right now. How much worse we'll get will depend on our ability to do two things: to contain the influx of people who are infected coming from the outside, and the ability to contain and mitigate within our own country. Bottom line, it's going to get worse.
Well, bottom line, Mr. Fauci, if we don't test people, then we don't know how many people are infected. Is that correct?
That is correct. And as I'm sure that Dr. Redfield will tell you, as the looking forward right now, as commercial entities get involved in making a large amount of tests getting variable, when you do two aspects of testing, one, a person comes in to a physician and ask for a test because they have symptoms or a circumstance which suggests they may be infected. The other way to do testing is to do surveillance, where you go out into the community and not wait for someone to come in and ask for a test, but you proactively get a test. We are pushing for that, and as Dr. Redfield will tell you, that the CDC has already started that in 6 sentinel cities, and we'll expand that in many more cities. But you're absolutely correct. We need to know.
Do you hear what he's saying there at the end? Do you hear what he's saying? We are pushing for that. Does that not sound very similar to what we've heard out of the World Health Organization? Maybe we should just bust into your house and pull people out of the house. And sounds exactly like what he's saying. And as Angus Bergen said, you know, this is stuff that's been thought out and thoughtfully crafted years in advance, decades. Some of the more recent reports, like I said, a national COVID-19 surveillance system achieving containment. Here are some talking points. Same people: Mark McClellan, Scott Gottlieb, Farzad Mostashari, Caitlin Rivers, Lauren Silvis, a lot of the same folks. And so what should be happening is, America, you should be getting out in front of this. These folks should not be painted in a favorable light. They're the experts. When people see, you know, no offense to any of these folks, but when you hear these names, it shouldn't connote a sense of favoritism. It should call to mind skepticism and cynicism, a healthy sense of caution and cynicism. Well, you guys thought this out years in advance. That's weird. And you just had a thing where you were, you know, it's an exercise that none of the mainstream press is talking about. They talk about Bill Gates' talk in 2015. They don't talk about this. Why? And why aren't we hearing about these kinds of things? Instead, we hear the talking points. When they roll these things out in Toynbee sort of fashion, a national surveillance system, Bill Gates has talked about national testing. Are you listening? Fauci just said we're pushing for that. Be right back.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75%. Dandruff, almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
One, a person comes in to a physician and asks for a test because they have symptoms or a circumstance which suggests they may be infected. The other way to do testing is to do surveillance, where you go out into the community and not wait for someone to come in and ask for a test, but you actively proactively get a test. We are pushing for that, and as Dr. Redfield will tell you, that the CDC has already started that in 6 sentinel cities and will expand that in many more cities. But you're absolutely correct. We need to know how many people, to the best of
this is the plan. This has been the plan for a long time. I mean, it's part of the plan. People need to know. How do you feel about that? You actively go out. How do you get those tests then, Dr. Fauci? You know. I know. right? It's invasive. It's patently un-American. It's all those things. Let's get our arms around the active cases. The active hospitalizations, excuse me, active cases is irrelevant too. Active hospitalizations. And let's see that in the foreground with the backdrop of the seasonal flu data. What does that look like? Because if the active hospitalizations, which we have been led to believe are going to overwhelm the healthcare system capacity, pale in comparison to the seasonal flu data, Houston, we have a huge problem. Especially when you hear these kinds of things, these initiatives being pushed, and you heard Dr. Fauci say, we are pushing for that. We're pushing for an invasive, go out into the community, active testing, to go out and get tests, not wait for people to come in. You heard it. Bill Gates is saying we're spending millions and millions of dollars to, you know, get the testing going. All of this is an effort to move down the road, you know, greater surveillance, greater control, vaccine, the digital certificate, who has immunity. You know what? Don't you had it and you built up immunity, but you know what? Why don't you get the flu shot just to make sure? Because, oops, sorry, did that change your RNA? Did it change your DNA sequencing? Did it screw you? Are you glowing like a jellyfish now? Sorry about that. You grew dragon wings. You've been sterilized and you maybe got cancer. Oops, sorry about that. Boy, that's unfortunate. But you know what? We couldn't wait. I mean, how could we wait? We had a health crisis. It was a global health crisis. No, it's not. It is not. It's nothing of the sort. You know it and I know it. And the numbers show it. So let's dig around, find the active hospitalizations in your area, and start demanding some accountability. Let's start acting like adults and stop pretending that the adults are children and somehow technocrats who have no vested interest in your well-being can somehow manage and plan your life better for you than you can yourself, as Reagan put it in 1964. Let's not do that, America. Come on. Seriously, what is happening here? Go find the active hospitalizations in your area. Start publicizing that number. Start bringing people's attention to that number, because I assure you, it pales in comparison to seasonal flu data and all of these other fear-mongering numbers they're waving in front of everyone's face. Help your elected officials see the light and the truth that the numbers we're being presented are dishonest and they are agenda-driven. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side. I have inside me blood of kings. Yeah. Yeah. I have no rival. No man can be my equal. Save me to the future of you all.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.